of John. Tonight I want to talk about taking the Lord Jesus' place. Taking the Lord Jesus' place. We're going to take his place. And that's what we want to do, and that's what we need to do. John 14 and verse 12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." All right, we're going to start here and wander around a little bit in John and some other passages and talking about taking the Lord Jesus' place here on earth. Let's pray. Lord, it's wonderful to be in your house, wonderful to sing your praise. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So true, Father, it'll be a wonderful moment when even the mockers and skeptics will say, "You are Lord." And we say that now because we know you and love you and are thankful we get to serve you. I pray that tonight, Lord, that you would meet with us. We are blessed to be able to read these passages and others. And Lord, learn this truth. It's a little, it's pretty clear in the scriptures, but it's a little heavy and a little, a great responsibility that's upon us. And many people don't just understand just how serious responsibility is. And I pray tonight that each one of us who'd come back on a Sunday night on a beautiful day would get this and grasp this and leave this and take up this responsibility. May your spirit be the teacher. May your spirit be the convictor and the guider and everything else that needs done. Lord, we need you to guide us. We need you to speak to us. We need you to let us see this, enlighten our eyes, Father. And we just ask for your help now and for you to do a great work in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus teaches that he's going to go away here, and he's leaving them. That's what John 14 is about, 15, 16. I'm going away. And he says, but great work still need done when I'm gone. And so if you believe on me, he says, the works that I do, you'll do those also. And you'll do greater works than these because I go to my Father. And then he says, those that believe will not only do great works because I go to the Father, but whatever you ask in my name, I will do that. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We're going to read several passages where he's going to be talking about, in the big picture of the message is, he's going to say, I'm going away, but don't worry, the work's still going to be done. You get to do it. You're taking my place. Now, I'm going to give you all the tools you need, but you are now taking over my spot. The Holy Spirit's going to go and dwell you, and you're going to be able to do this work. The whole passage talks about that. go down to verse 16. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come again to you. And so he says, I'm not going to leave you without any ability to do any of these things. We are doing his works, so we ask in his name for what's needed. Let me illustrate this just a little bit, and then I'll just give you some things that we're supposed to do in his place. So the boss, he owns his construction company, and he has this large construction company, and he says, you know what, I am worn out, I'm tired, and I'm going to go take a break. I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks, and he tells his foreman, Joe, you're in charge of the company. I've already told the lumber company and the supply companies that when you call them, you're in my place, and then they're supposed to give you what they need. I've told the employees to do whatever you say. I've told the subcontractors, you're in charge until I get back. Joe, you are taking my place while I'm gone. Well, Joe goes down, and he has to go get some more plywood for the job, and he goes down to the hardware place and the lumber store, and he says, hey, I need 40 more sheets of 5/8 CDX plywood, and he says, okay, who's this for? And he says, it's for Mr. Strong's Construction Company, Strong Construction. And he says, oh, okay, yeah, he told me. He says, yep. He says, whatever you ask for, he says, we'll load it up, get the truck out there, and we'll deliver it. Because he's taking his place. Now Jesus is not here on earth right now. He lives inside of us. We take his place. So he helps us to do what he needs to do through us. We are now the channels through which he flows. We are now the bodies in which he lives. He still, his work still has to be done. It's just a matter of we are the ones who now take his place on earth. And we'll just show you some points on that and explain that and illustrate it a little bit. We are taking his place, so we, first of all, we pray in his name. In John 14, verse 13 and 14, it says this, "And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, you can't just take those verses there. The verse before says that the works that I do shall you do also. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He's talking about doing the works in his name, taking his place, doing his works. We think what this means, what we traditionally do, and it's fine, there's nothing wrong with it at all. We think this means when you pray, at the end of the prayer, say, in Jesus' name. That's what we think that means, praying anything in his name. That's not what that means. Is it good to pray in Jesus' name? It's great. Nothing wrong with it at all. There is nothing wrong with praying in Jesus' name. Just understand, every prayer you pray is not in Jesus' name. So this guy goes down, who's the Joe, the construction guy, and he goes down and he goes down to McDonald's. And he says, "Hey, Strong Construction Company says I want a number one Big Mac, extra spread." And they say, "Who? You can't ask for that in the business's name, right? It's not, you're not doing it for the business." So In this realm, he says, those that want to do works in my name, if you I can do greater works than these because I go to the Father, I'll be there to make intercession for you. And if you ask anything in my name because you're doing my work, I will do it. You ask in Jesus' name when you're doing what he wants. And you're doing his job. Now, there is nothing at all wrong with you praying for whatever you want. Bible says, whatsoever things you desire in prayer, ask. Ask and you shall receive. There's a lot of prayer promises and a lot of things. You can pray. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But there are certain things that Jesus has put me there to do, and I'm doing his work. I'm in his position. It's something that he wants. And so I come to him and I say, "Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to do this." You see the difference? Nod, shake your head. Look confused, tilt your head if you're confused. So you understand that there's a difference there. Now, pray for everything you want. Pray for a new car, and pray for your health to be good, and pray for me to be happy, and pray for all the good things you want to happen. Pray for all kinds, and it's good, nothing wrong with that at all. But there are certain things where you have authority, and you say, "God, you told me to do this. This is your work, this is your job. I'm in Jesus' place. Jesus is doing his work through me. I ask that you do this in Jesus' name." That makes sense? And he said, "If you ask anything that way, I will do it." And he repeats it twice. "I'm going to do it if you're doing it in my name." So that he comes to any, Joe comes with Strong Construction Company, and whatever he goes to, wherever he's doing it for the boss, and if he goes up to the employee and has to fire an employee, guess what? The employee's fired. Why? Because the boss put him there in that position. He can do it in the boss's name. But you don't have a guarantee of every single prayer for whatever you want. Fortunately, by the way, getting answered. Because sometimes you don't pray the best things. Bible says, "We know not what we should pray for as we ought." We prayed terrible prayers before. Prayers that would have destroyed us, prayers that would have killed people we hated, and all kinds of prayers that we shouldn't have prayed. They're not in Jesus' name. "Lord, in Jesus' name, kill my boss." Well, you know, it's not what he wants. That's your thing. And you can pray for that. That's fine. It's bad. Don't pray for that. You can pray for that. But don't expect it too much. But when you say, "Well, I don't do harder than anything for Jesus, it's just, you know, it's my life." That's the problem. That's why prayer doesn't seem that powerful to you. It's because it's your life. You're not living, Jesus isn't living through you. If you ask anything in my name, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I'm going to go to the Father. You need to do great works. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. And so don't sit out here. Don't be one of these Pharisees. He prayed in Jesus' name at the end of his prayer, but he just said that at the end because that, actually, technically, theologically, what you're supposed to be meaning, don't do that. Don't be the prayer corrector, okay? Anybody who's praying, be happy they're praying. And there's nothing wrong with saying in Jesus' name at the end of your prayer. It's fine. It's great. It's good. But understand, we're supposed to be doing his work and praying and asking for things in Jesus' name because we want to see Jesus do a great work. We are taking his spot. He is not here on earth walking around doing these things. There are a lot of things that he wants done, that he wants to do, but he's going to do them through us. We're just the tools. So we come and say, Lord, I ask you, you wanted me to do this. This is your work. I ask in Jesus' name that you would do this. So first of all, we are to pray in his name because we're in his place. Number two, we are to love in his place. We are to love in his place. John 15 and verse 9. John 15 and verse 9. We're to love in Jesus' place. 9, verse 9 through 12. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. And this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now you continue in that love. As the Father has loved me, I've loved you. Now love one another in the same way. He says it again twice. You ready? This is very important to understand this. People out there, the only way they're going to see the love of God is through you. Amen? You understand that? Jesus is not going to walk up to one person on earth and say, I am Jesus Christ. Here I am, magnified, glorified, and I want you to know I love you. Give them a hug, express his love, show them the scars. That is not how Jesus does it. Jesus does it through you expressing it. Why don't these people understand how much God loves them? Scratch your head, get a couple slivers in your finger, and wonder. John 13, he's gonna say again, different way, John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, in that ye have love one for another. Look at verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now, you know me, I blasted people who say, well, I went to church and this bad thing happened and this happened. I'm not going to go to church anymore. They're wrong. They should go to church. They should obey God, whether anybody was nice to them or not. Understand that. However, a lot of them will also, you'll find, digging deeper, have a problem with the conception, with the understanding, with the concept of the love of God. Why? Because they are maybe a new convert, didn't know much about God, maybe came from a troubled family. They go to church. They're supposed to be learning from Christians how they love each other, how God loves. And they did not learn that love. They might have supposed to learn it from their parents. They didn't get it from their parents. They could have learned it from other believers. We should have a kind of love where people say, so that's how God loves. Why? Because God is loving them through you. No wonder James says this. It says, if you see a brother have need of food and you have the ability to feed him and you don't give him the things necessary for his food, for his provision, how dwelleth the love of God in you? God says, I wanted to feed them. And you stopped me from feeding them by you holding your money back. How can the love of God dwell in you? They're not getting the love of God. As a Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. It's supposed to flow into us and through us to somebody else. It's a pipe. Love of God is a pipe. It flows down to you, through you, and out to them. And so Jesus does not walk around on the earth and love people. He does it, but he does it through you. You say, no, he doesn't. Then there's a problem. Because you're supposed to continue in that love. He sure loved you pretty good, didn't he? He sure loved me pretty good. And we are supposed to let him live through us in love. That's the way a wife is. That's the way a wife understands the love of God, by her husband. The Bible says in Ephesians, it says, you know what? He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. A wife should know how much she's loved, just like the church knows how much they're loved. A lot of the expression comes to us. So I don't do good expressing my love, then you're clogging up Jesus' ability to love people. Well, I just can't love that person, then Jesus can't love that person through you. And that person's not going to know the love of God, because he's living through you. The works that he does, you're supposed to do also. He is not living on earth, he's living through you. Amen? Either we're under deep conviction, or we aren't understanding, or we took too many pills this afternoon, or not enough coffee. We're supposed to pray in Jesus' name. We're supposed to love in his place. Want to do another one? Or we already get too much? Number three. We shine his light for him. Let's go to John 9. A lot of this is in John, of course, but we'll hang around there. I know you're hungry for the word of God. I know you like it. I just know it's convicting also when we realize, wow, if we don't do it, God's stuff doesn't get done. Oh, God, just do it around me. I wish he would do that. Just flow around me, God. Just get to them. I'm just a rock in the river. God says, no, you are the river. You're what I'm supposed to flow through. Number three, we shine his light for him. John chapter 9 and verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. How long is he the light of the world? As long as he's in the world. But look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Then he giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He is the light of the world. As long as he's in the world, he's not in the world. He lives inside of us. Now the world needs the same light, but now we are the light of the world. If the world gets light, it gets light through us. Now, we understand the true light is Jesus Christ in us. We get that. It's Jesus. It's him living through us. The Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I think it's Galatians 2:20. We are letting God live through us. He shines his light. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I've got a couple of verses there. So God is shining his light into the world through you. God's light at your job is you. God's light in your family is you. God's light to your unsaved relatives is you. God's light to your neighborhood is you. God's expression of love is you. 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. We're going to read several verses out of 2 Corinthians 4. Let's do verse 6 and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He who wanted to shine, shined in our hearts. And we are like the green glowy stuff that you put in the light and then it's bright now. What's the technical term for green glowy stuff? Nobody knows any more than I do. I like green glowy stuff. The green glowy stuff that you put up by light, then all of a sudden you turn on the lights and it's all glowing, that's you. God shines in your heart and then you shine it into the world. He says he has shined in our hearts in order to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the faith of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, the light of God, hid in earthly vessels. And so we see that. 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. We are the Bible that people read. We are the epistles, the written letter of God. Verse 2, ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, the letter of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. So we are the written. But somebody once said a great statement, you are the only Bible some people will ever read. They're not going to pick up a Bible. They're going to see what the Bible's about by looking at you. That's why God is in you, to help you do that and to do that. If we don't do this, the light is not shown. That's the Bible. Well, if I fail, God will find some other way. Well, let's see what he says about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in their hearts. That's what it says. It says, they're blinded by Satan. If we hide the gospel, it's hid from the lost people, and they will not have the light shine on them. That's what it says. So we are... we shine. He's the light of the world. We just got to let him shine through us and do that. Number 4, taking the Lord Jesus' place. What a big responsibility, but what a privilege. We do his work of restoring. We do his work of restoring people to God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's bringing people back to God. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We're speaking for God to you. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. You know, it says God's given to us this ministry now. And when we're talking to you and trying to bring you back to God, it's as though Christ was speaking to you, because this is the ministry he gave us. We are bringing people back to God. Can I just tell you, personally, and this is kind of my own shame, I've always had a heart for restoring people back to God, and it's always been a heart I've had. I just love people and want them to be restored to God, and never knew anything other than going and doing it. And for years and years and years, I just went and did it, and I didn't know how to do it. I never got trained how to do it. All I did is went and said, hey, man, you've been gone from church. Can I do anything for you? I'm praying for you. I'd go to somebody who hadn't, you know, somebody, a friend of mine, I'd say, hey, you know, and I said things wrong half the time. But what else? Somebody had to go talk to him. So I did it. Later on, I became a little bit insecure about how I was doing it. Maybe I wasn't very good at it. Maybe I should have better training. One of the worst things that ever happened is when somebody starts telling you how you ought to be doing something when you're already doing it. Now, sometimes you can say, you know what, I'll try that, and I'll do that. But sometimes, boy, I realize I'm not that great at it. I don't feel like I'm very good at reconciling people to God. Now, over the years, I've had a decent amount of success, but probably just because I've done it so much. But you know, I want to say this. It doesn't matter if I'm good at it or not. Nobody else is doing it. Most Christians who backslide in most, I'm not talking about an open door, I'm talking... most Christians who backslide in the world are just going to keep sliding. I talked to someone who got away from God, a good Christian who got away from God for many years and came back to God. And I was just trying to learn from them. And I said, what could someone have done to help you get back to God? And they said, you know, I wouldn't have until I was ready, until God worked in my heart and got me to the point to come back. But he said, I wish somebody would have just kept contact with me. A Christian would have just said, I love you, I'm praying for you. He said, I think that would have brought me back to God sooner. And I want to say this, God's given you the job of reconciling people back to Christ. Jesus will never walk up to somebody who's away from God, who got out of church, maybe is struggling in sin or whatever, and say, hey, buddy, come back to church now. He will never do that. He does it through you and through me. We're taking Jesus' place in that. He has given us, he says it three times in this passage, he's given us a ministry of reconciliation. And when we're saying this to you, he said, it's as though God is saying it to you because he's doing it through us. We are his ambassadors. We are to do the job of restoring. Next, he sent us to save the lost in his place. Let's go to John 17. He sent us to save the lost in his place. John 17, verse 18, Jesus praying, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Says it pretty clearly, doesn't it? How did God send Jesus into the world? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. God the Father said, Jesus, go save the world. Jesus says to us, all right, I'm leaving. Go save the world. I'll do the saving. You go take the gospel to them. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. I'm with you always. That's what he gave us. John chapter 20. In verse 21. He says, then Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when they had said this, he breathed in them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Just go preach the gospel. And so that's what they were supposed to do. I've known two people in my life, and I've talked to a lot of people. I mean tens of thousands of people. I've known two who got saved outside of a human going to them. And that's, I would conservatively say, there's probably 30,000 people I've talked to. Both of them read the Bible, and very rarely, it's very unlikely, it's very hard to do, couldn't happen to the Ethiopian eunuch, it's very rare, but both of them got hungry for God, God was drawing them, they read the Bible, they said, oh man, I need to believe on Jesus. They believed on Jesus, and they got saved. Two of them. The rest, somebody told them. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? No wonder the Bible says, how blessed are the feet of those that bring good tidings of great joy. The blessed feet of a soul winner. I'm not very good at it. Didn't have anything to do with it. It's not my gift. I have anything to do with it. There are evangelists. They're called. They have a special anointing, and they can do it better than the rest of us. But everybody's supposed to be a soul winner. Everybody's supposed to shine his light. Jesus wants to reach those people, and you give him feet to do it. And he goes, and whether you're good at it, whether you want to, whether you feel comfortable with it, has nothing to do with it. He's given us the ministry. And if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. He gave us the responsibility to love them. He's going to love them through us. He's going to live through you, hopefully. And he says, I'm going to do greater works than these for everybody who believes on me. And when you say, okay, God, here's a body, here's a life, do whatever you want, go wherever you want. I am yours. Use me, God. Suddenly, God just fills you up and starts using you, and you find divine appointments, and you find souls you can impact. You find someone who needs love. And you, strangely enough, who feel like you're no good at expressing love, are just the person who knows how to express love to that person. Because God made you to do it. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. You know what's great? You know what's amazing? What an honor, what a privilege, what a scary responsibility to let God to take the place of Jesus on earth. However, he says, everything you need, I will give you. Those that believe on me, the works that I do, shall they do also, and greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Go preach the gospel to every creature, and lo, I am with you all the way, even to the end of the world. 1 John 4 says, love one another. But you know what? God is love, and I will give you love. It's a fruit. I give you love. I will give you the love to love people. Remember, it's me who's going to love them. I just need a body who's empty and willing to let me fill it. I will give you the love you need. I will give you the wisdom you need to restore them. I will give you the abilities you need. I will give you the prayers answered. If you're asking in my name because you're doing my work, because you're letting me live through you, I need to live through you. You're my missionary, every Christian. So what do? You say, here am I, Lord, me. Lord, whoever you need to love, love through me. Lord, I'm not very good at this stuff. You're going to have to do it through me. That's what he wants to do. That's a good thing. He wants to do it through you. He knows you can't. He knows that. So he's going to give you everything you need because you're doing it in his name. He'll do the saving. He'll do the power. He'll do the loving. He will do these things. You just have to let him have some feet. Let him live. Let Jesus live on earth today. Now, he'll look a lot like you. I know it's not so great. And he might not be able to walk very fast. And he might not be real good at some things. But you know what? He wants to be alive today, living through somebody. As a father has sent me, so send I you. You go. Take a place. Go in somebody to Christ. Jesus doesn't walk around on earth to love people, win folks to Christ, reconcile people to God. He gives us that. He's doing it. He has the ability. He just needs us to let him do it through us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Lord, it's a simple message. It's just what you say. But Lord, it's a very great responsibility. You know, Lord, it's a little scary for some of us. We don't want to blow it. How can the God of the universe live through us who are so weak? But I pray tonight, Lord, that we would give ourselves to you. I pray, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, would be a reality to us. I pray your light would shine. You said you shine in our hearts so that we would shine in the world. Lord, help us to do these things. Help us to shine. Help us to love. Help us to win souls. Help us reconcile people to you. Help us to pray in Jesus' name because we're doing these things and we're living for you. Lord, help us to do these things. Help our lives not to be our own but yours. And I pray tonight that you would just work in each one of our hearts to let you live through us and enjoy that great privilege and honor and the great power that will flow through us. Pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed.